Good morning, Saints.
Good morning.
I see why Brother Kevin has so much energy this morning. He got a gas pedal up here. Oh, bless the Lord. He kept the pedal to the metal. Amen. Most cars are 5-speed or 6-speed. He's got 11 speeds up here. Maybe 12. The 12 is covered up. Bless the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in God's house once again. And as always, there's three reasons why I'm just as excited as can be. Amen. And first of all, I'm excited because God is still in control. Amen. In spite of all the stuff that's going on, how bad it looks, God is still in control. I'm confident of that this morning because I woke up this morning clothed in my right mind with a reasonable portion of my health and strength. And secondly, I'm excited because in spite of us not dotting every I, crossing every T, there's a word coming from the Lord. Amen. God is still speaking to us. He loves us. And also, thirdly, I'm excited because you all could have remained in your trailers this morning. You could have stayed at home. You could have been sleeping in, cooking sausage and eggs and pancakes, or you could have even met at IHOP this morning. But you chose to come out to the house of the Lord that you might worship him in spirit and in truth. And so I'm excited because you all are here. Give yourselves a hand clap of praise. Amen. Bless the Lord. A real short message this morning, discreet and to the point. Nothing difficult like I usually am. Amen. But discreet and to the point and real simple this morning. And I want to call your attention to the gospel according to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And when you get there, we're going to take a look beginning at verse 20 in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Page 709 in your pew Bibles. If you're there, will you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thought I'd get those vocals warmed up for the preaching. So when I start telling the truth, you can say amen. Amen. Beginning at verse 20, it says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour." I want to use for subject just for a few moments, dealing with the issues of life. Dealing with the issues of life. Let us pray. Merciful Father and our God, which art in heaven, we thank you for this hour, for this time, Lord God, and we thank you for another day. It's the day that thou hast made, Father, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I come now, Father God, asking for forgiveness of all of our sins, that, Father, we may be holy and acceptable in thy sight. I ask, Lord God, that you would tear down any strongholds that perhaps Satan may have already attempted to build up into any of the minds of these, even your very own people, O Father. And then, Father God, I ask that you would give me a miraculous amount of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, a supernatural amount of energy and strength, Father. I may carry out this great task you've given me on this day. Open up our hearts and our minds. Cause every ear to hear what the Spirit of God has to say unto the church. And Father, we walk by faith and not by sight. So therefore, we give you glory right now in advance. It's in Jesus' name that I pray this prayer. And the saints of God said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope that when you all got up this morning, when you opened your eyes, that you came to a conclusion that I'm going to get dressed and I'm going to the house of God, that God may speak to my heart and give me a word that will bless me throughout the rest of this week. I hope and pray that that's the reason why everybody came here this morning. It was not because Reverend Reddy Ron was here this morning to preach the gospel. It was not because Kevin was going to have to pedal to the metal and it was not going to run out of energy. But I pray that you stopped by here this morning because you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the God whom we serve, who's the creator of this universe, who sits high and who looks low, had a word for you that he was going to speak to your heart. And so therefore, since you did arrive for that particular purpose, there's something that God wants you to hear this morning. There's something he wants you to manifest in your spirit. And that is the fact that no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, if you happen to be that person here this morning who has been fortunate enough, lucky enough, to have made it throughout your life without any issues at all, I encourage you to just keep on living, because sooner or later, bam, something's going to happen in your life. And it's going to be something that you will not be able to deal with all by yourself. Not only will it be something you won't be able to deal with by yourself, but it's going to be something that mom and daddy, if they're still alive, won't be able to help you with. It'll be something that your coworkers won't be able to help you with. All the money in the bank won't be able to help you with. Your spouse won't be able to help you with it. Your children won't be able to help you with it. And by God, we know the president won't be able to help you with it. Can I get an amen in this place? And so therefore, I stop by to tell you that if you live long enough, you're going to have some issues in life. No matter what those issues might be. For some, it might be finances. For some, it might be health and strength. For some, it just might be plain old loneliness. For some, it might be bitterness. For some, it might be hatred. For some, it might be anger. For some, it might be disappointment. And for some, it may be downright ignorance. I wish I had a witness in this place. But regardless of what your issue will be, if you live long enough, it's going to happen. Now I want to preach to those who know what I'm talking about. Those who have already experienced at least one issue in your life. An issue that you had to take to the Lord, because after you talked to everybody else and after you tried everything else, the issue just would not go anywhere. And so when we look at our text today, I want to give you a solution to every issue, any issue that can ever come up in your life, no matter what it is. When we look at our text today, as I began to read this section, I saw where Jesus always had problems dealing with church folks. Can I get a witness in here? As a matter of fact, it was the Pharisees and the scribes. Those were folks who were all, you couldn't get inside of a church building, what they would call synagogues. You couldn't get inside of a synagogue without Pharisees and scribes surrounding the building. They had the building surrounded. They were inside. They were outside. They were in the parking lot. They were everywhere. As a matter of fact, there were more religious folks inside the synagogue than there were true Christians. I wish I had a witness here. My Bible tells me that when Jesus ascended, there were about 500 brethren. There were a whole lot more Pharisees and scribes than that. And so therefore, we find here that Jesus was dealing with Pharisees and scribes, and they were complaining. As a matter of fact, some of John's disciples, because of ignorance, which was an issue in that day, came to Jesus and wanted to know why he was not fasting. Why was he not fasting like John's disciples and like the Pharisees and the scribes? Why was he not fasting? And Jesus had to teach them a little lesson about a thing called fasting. He basically said, hey, when the bridegroom is in the room, why do you need to mourn and be sad because he's gone when he's there in front of you? You don't have to be sad because somebody that you love is there. He said the time you need to be sad is when they're gone. And so Jesus basically says, my disciples don't fast because I'm in their presence. And he says, but when I'm gone, he said, there will be a time when they will fast. And then Jesus deals with the situation while he's teaching. The Bible says that there is a certain man comes to Jesus, a ruler, and he has a daughter that's very sick, and he wants Jesus to go to his house and to heal his daughter. And Jesus is now en route to the ruler's house to heal his daughter. But yet, while Jesus is en route to heal the ruler's daughter, somebody sneaks up behind Jesus. Did you know such a thing was possible? That you could sneak up behind the Son of God? I stopped by to tell you that she snuck up behind Jesus. And I want you to understand something. This woman has a serious issue. Her issue is a life-threatening issue. Her issue has been with her for 12 long years. It is not just a headache. It is not just a broken leg. It is not just that a friend has turned their back on her. It is not just that she does not have any money in the bank. But this is a woman who has a blood issue, and she can't get it to stop. And I want you to know that in spite of this woman having an issue, I'm about to preach to somebody in this place. In spite of this woman having an issue that appears to be worse than everybody else, she's a crawling miracle. I wish I had a witness there. I said she's a crawling miracle because she's been bleeding for 12 years and she ain't dead yet. Somebody ought to wake up in this place, because somebody here has an issue that they've been dealing with for a long time, and you've been looking down on yourself and you don't think you're as good as everybody else. But what you fail to realize is you are a walking miracle, because in spite of your issue, it has not destroyed you. Good God Almighty. I'm going somewhere with this morning. And so therefore, this woman is a crawling miracle. I say a crawling miracle because she has humbled herself and she's gotten so low to where the people who are so arrogant and self-righteous don't even see her moving through the crowd. If you ever read this text before in your life, have you ever realized how did she manage to get to Jesus without the self-righteous folk kicking her or dragging her back outside of the camp? Because when you understand that she had an issue and a disease and she'd been bleeding for 12 years and it's hot, hazy, and humid down in Palestine, she was smelling. I wish I had a witness here. She had a smell with her. She had an odor with her that folk could not ignore. But yet, because they were looking up into the clouds and they thought they were better than everybody else, you know, that's the way self-righteous and self-sufficient folks are. And so therefore, because this woman has humbled herself, she's able to crawl beneath the noses of the self-righteous folks. And she gets to Jesus. Come on, somebody. The Bible says in verse 20, come on, walk with me down the text. The Bible says in verse 20, it says, behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years. Now, I want to give you the first point. The first point I want you to understand about the issues of life is this. If you're ever going to resolve your issues that you embark upon in life, is number one, you got to acknowledge that you got an issue. Lord have mercy. That's obvious, church. You ain't got to be a Bible scholar to figure that out. If you're going to deal with your issue, if you're going to resolve it, you got to stop denying that you got issues in life. And you've got to come to the conclusion and say, I'm in a bind. I'm in a situation. This is an issue. This is a problem. It's doing some things to me. It's destroying me. It's holding me back. It's caused me to become stagnated. And I've got to resolve this issue. You got to acknowledge it, church. I can't tell you how many times I've been to different churches all over the state of Virginia, especially, and you find folks sitting up in the church. You ask them, how y'all doing today? And they say, fine, Pastor, lying, the truth ain't in you. You ain't doing all that good. I ain't never in my life believed that somebody is fine every single day and ain't nothing wrong. I got a problem with somebody who always telling me that everything is peaches and creams. You are lying, the truth ain't in you. I'm a pastor, I walk close to God, and everything with me ain't always peaches and cream. Every now and then I might get upset about something, and guess what? Things ain't good when I get upset. Am I right about it? Lord have mercy. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. As a matter of fact, whenever I come here, let me back this truck up. I'm sorry for saying that you're a lie. I didn't mean to call nobody a lie, but I just want to say this, truth ain't in you. And so, therefore, amen, amen, amen. Now that we don't got past that, y'all can open your ears back up. Now, I've been coming here, and in all the years I've been, you know, I've been coming here for about 10 years. I've been coming here for about 10 years. I believe I got some witnesses in the place. And you know, and for the 10 years that I've been coming here preaching the gospel, I want you to know that before I get up to preach, Brother Kevin usually always asks or takes prayer requests. Can I get a witness? And don't you know that there's a lot of people who gives prayer requests and praise reports during that time. And I want you to know that if they didn't have no issues, they wouldn't be asking for prayer. Am I right about it? And so therefore, the key to dealing with the issues of life is you've got to acknowledge your issue. Now, listen to me. You ain't got to tell it to me. You ain't got to tell it to anybody else in the house, but you need to at least tell it to God. Do you hear what I'm saying? You need to at least tell God about your issue. Somebody might say, well, why I got to tell God? He already knows, because the scripture says you have not because you ask not. And even though he already knows what you stand in need of, God needs you to understand that you got to trust him if you want him to fix your situation. And how many Christians do we have today who've been dealing with problems and issues, but because they are too high, too holy and sanctified to take it to the one who can fix it? And you know how God works. Now watch this. Don't miss it, church. The way God works is this. He will listen to your issue, and then he'll touch your brother and your sister's heart to help you fix your issue that you got going on. Lord have mercy. And so the first thing you got to do is you got to acknowledge your issues. Acknowledge, admit it, confess it. God, I got an issue. I got a problem with this and I need your help. Oh, but when I kept on reading this text, I saw something else. Not only do we have a woman here with an issue of blood for 12 years, she's a walking miracle, but the Bible says she came behind him and she touched the hem of his garment. What am I saying? Secondly, I'm saying you've got to learn the promises of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? You got to learn the promises of God. Now, why do I say that? All you see in the text is that she came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Because when you go back into the Old Testament writings, you find that the promises of God were always sewn on the hem of the garments. And since the promises were sewn on the hem of the garment, she got down as low as she could to get to where the promises of God was and reached out and grabbed a hold of the promise that said, by his stripes, I shall be healed. Wish I had a witness here. But I want you to know, you can't reach out and grab what you don't know. That's why you got to be in Bible study in Sunday school. You got to learn the word of God in order to understand what the promises of God are. We got so many promises that God has made to us, and we ain't reached out and grabbed half of God's promises yet. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? He said, if you got the faith the size of a mustard seed, he said, you can say to this mountain, move from hither to there, and the mountain will move. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Now, I ain't talking about a physical mountain. You can drive up to Luray Caverns up there in Harrisonburg, across the mountain, you can talk to them mountains all you want, and I don't care how much faith you got, them mountains ain't gonna move. It ain't no purpose in it. But I want you to know that there are some mountains of issues that can creep up into your life. And when they creep up into your life, if you got faith the size of a mustard seed and you say, you know what, sickness, I'm speaking to you right now, be thou removed from my life. And I want you to know, I might still be sick, but I'm still walking by faith and not by sight. Lord have mercy. Oh, good God Almighty. Kevin, thank you for your gas pedal. Lord have mercy. So the Bible says that this woman, she touched the hem of his garment. But the reason why she touched the hem of his garment is because she had been in God's word and she had learned the promises of God. And she knew what promises she had coming to her and what she could stand on. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I want you to know that we've got to be in God's word, learning and understanding the promises of God. Somebody might say, well, Pastor, what about when folk just keep lying on you and talking about you behind your back and you know people don't like you? Well, the promises of God tells me to pray for those who despitefully misuse you, mistreat you, and say all manner of evil against you and falsely accuse you for my name's sake. He said, blessed are you. Yes. In other words, we need to know that God has promised us that when folks start treating us like that because we are serving him, that we are blessed and highly favored. You see, our problem is, church, we don't recognize a blessed and highly favored status. We think that being blessed and highly favored is when somebody's always patting us on the back. But I stopped by to tell you, the Bible says, be careful when men think well of you. Be careful when folks are always patting you on the back. Maybe it's because you're always doing what they want you to do. But I dare you to step up and do what God wants you to do, which is contrary to what they want you to do, and see how many pats you get on the back then. I would challenge any of you to step into a pastor's role and to go through what a pastor goes to just for 30 days. For 30 days, deal with folks who don't want to go in the direction that you try to take them into. Deal with folks who don't understand why you made a decision when you made a decision from scripture. And it's usually because they've not been in God's words. Right. Well, you know, Reverend, I don't think we have to do all of that. I'm not concerned about what you think. I got a message I got to preach in the third service. I got three services due today. And when I get to the third service, God gave me a message to preach. And let me tell you, I'm already sweating bullets. Lord have mercy. It's a tough message. And you know what God said to me? God said to me, he said, if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, you are just like the ones you got to preach to. And so I come to the conclusion that it's better to be in good standings with God than it is with folks. Amen. And so therefore, first of all, you got to acknowledge your issues. Secondly, you got to learn the promises of God. But look with me in verse 21. Verse 21 says, for she said within herself, Lord have mercy. If I may but touch his garment, she said, I shall be made whole. Now, the third thing is you got to claim the promises of God. It does no good to know what God's word says if you don't claim it, if you don't believe it. Now, we got to be careful here, saints, because there's a whole lot of faith teachers and there's a whole lot of prosperity preachers that will come up in here and that will tell you, don't claim that sickness. Don't claim it, because if you claim it, it's going to get you. Well, I stopped by to tell you that this woman had the issue for 12 years, and whether she claimed it or not, she was still crawling with a blood issue. And I want you to know that if you get sick, I don't care whether you claim it or not, you are still sick. I wish I had a witness here. You don't even need to be a Bible scholar to understand that common sense tells you that if you're sick, you're sick. Amen. I was in the grocery store one day and I was talking to this lady, and she recognized me. And she said, Reverend, she said, how you doing? And when I looked at her, she was real dark, and I could tell that she had been sick. And I said, how you doing, sister? And she said, well, she said, the doctors tell me that I got cancer. And I said, okay. I said, well, and she said, but my pastor told me not to claim it. My pastor told me don't claim it. And if I don't claim it, and if I keep the faith, then I don't have to worry about cancer. And I looked at her and I grabbed her by the hands and I said, sister, I said, listen to me very carefully. I said, I don't care what your pastor said. I don't care how long he's been pastoring. I don't care how long he's been a called man of God or whatever he is. No disrespect to him. But I want you to know, if the doctor said you got cancer and if it's caused you to be in this condition, whether you claim it or not, sooner or later it's going to take your life unless God steps in and delivers you from your situation. And tears began to come down her eyes. And she looked at me and she said, Reverend, she said, thank you so much for telling me the truth. She said, I wanted to accept my situation, but my pastor kept telling me not to accept it. She said, now I feel a weight being lifted off my shoulders. And I want you to know, saints, that when you got an issue, you got to acknowledge your issue. You got to deal with your issue and stop letting folk mislead you and tell you that you ain't sick when you are. But I want you to know that if the sickness is there, you just got to deal with it and pray to God and ask him if it be your will. Don't you remember when Jesus, when in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed three times the same prayer. Father, if it be possible, let this bitter cup pass my mouth. But I want you to know that finally Jesus came to the conclusion, nevertheless, Father, not my will. He said, but thy will be done. If Jesus had to claim his situation, what makes us think we don't have to? And so she had to claim the promises of God. Claiming the promises of God simply means that you believe what God said, and that in spite of my issue, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. And if it takes my life on this side, it is just going to deliver me to the other side. Don't you remember in the book of Philippians chapter 1, around the 21st to the 25th verse, when Paul said, I'm betwixt, he said, in a strait. In other words, he said, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. He said, I'm in a situation right now, he said, to where, he said, I believe I'm about to die. And he said, what shall I do? He said, if I die, he said, to die is gain. I wish I had a witness here. He said, to die is gain. In other words, he says, to be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul said, to be honest with you, he said, it's better for me if I go ahead and depart and get out of here. But then he started thinking about this thing. He said, though it's better for me to depart and get out, he said, it's better for you if I remain. And so therefore, he said, to remain, he said, is to preach Christ and to glorify his name. And so Paul chose to remain and in spite of exiting, because he knew it would benefit the saints of God. Lord, have mercy. That's good news, church. So first of all, you got to acknowledge your issues. Secondly, you got to learn the promises of God. And then thirdly, you got to claim those promises, believe what they say. And then fourthly, look with me in verse 22. The Bible says, but Jesus turned him about. In other words, Jesus turned himself about. And I believe when Jesus turned about, he took the ruler and he turned him about with him. You hear what I'm saying? Because Jesus did not want the ruler to miss what he was about to show him. You see, as the ruler was walking, the ruler's thinking, Jesus, I got to get you to my house physically, because I know you can raise her up.
but you got to be there physically. But I want you to know that Jesus turns the ruler and he turns himself. And when he does, he looks at the woman and he said to the woman, he calls her daughter, Lord, have mercy. Now think about it. This is a woman who has an issue. She's supposed to be outside the camp. She's considered as unclean. Everybody's looking down on her like she's an outcast. She's been ostracized. Has anybody ever felt like that? Lord, have mercy. And Jesus looks at her and he calls her daughter. And listen to me, church, in the midst of her situation, in the midst of all of her issues, he calls her daughter and he says, be of good comfort. And you know what that says to me? That says to me that until you acknowledge your issues, until you learn the promises, until you believe what they are, and until you learn to walk in the promises of God, you don't have no comfort. That's why we got so many sleepless nights. That's why we got so many restless days. It's because we've not acknowledged the issue. We've not learned the promises. We've not claimed the promises of God. And so therefore you can't walk in the promises of God. You see, you can still have the issues and then walk in the promises of God with your head to the hills from which cometh your help, knowing that all of your help cometh from the Lord God, which made heaven and earth. He says, your faith hath made thee heal. He says, and the woman was made whole from that very hour. Good God Almighty. In other words, the blood done dried up. Don't you know that Jesus can touch you, and in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, whatever that situation is, he can change it. Somebody said overnight, but I tell you, he can change it over a second. All he got to do is touch it. And now watch this, watch this. Now if you got a financial problem, now Jesus touched your situation, you still ain't got no money in the bank. Then somebody might say, well, he ain't fixed it yet. The devil is a lie. If Jesus touched it, it's already fixed. I want you to know, just because there's still no money in the bank, because he done touched it, the money is now going from zero and it's on the increase. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? When Jesus touches it, just because you don't see it, don't mean it ain't on the increase. I stopped by to tell somebody this morning that whatever your issues are, whatever you stop by here with, if you take it to Jesus, if you acknowledge what it is, if you learn the promises, if you claim the promises, you can walk out of here in the promises of God with your head in the clouds. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I want you to know that God's been better to us than we've been to ourselves, and we gotta believe what it said. As a matter of fact, the worst issue that you can ever encounter is the issue of death. Can I get a witness here? Everybody at some point in time thought about dying, and it made you sick to your stomach. But I want you to know, when I read in the word of God that Jesus lived a perfect life, that he walked the roads and he opened blinded eyes, that he healed those who couldn't walk, and that he raised the dead, when I read about that and I said, Lord, have mercy, who is this man that can do all these things? And then when I saw that they crucified him, put him on an old rugged cross, they hung him high and they stretched him wide, he locked his head and put his head in the lock of his shoulders, and he gave up the ghost, when I read that, I realized that death wasn't taking his life, but he laid it down. Good God, from Mount Zion, he laid down his life. And because he laid it down, he said, I got the power to raise it up again. And I said, whoa, wait a minute, I like this man. Then I kept on reading, and the Bible said they took him off the cross, put him in a barred tomb, and he laid there for 3 days. And I said, oh, I thought I had something here. But wait a minute, the Bible says early on Sunday morning that he got up with all power in his hands. And I said, oh, this is the man I want to put my trust in. Not Barack Obama, not my mom or my dad, not my co-workers, not my money, not my friends, not the church, but I put my trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. Hallelujah. Put my trust in Jesus. If he can overcome death, he can overcome every issue that I can ever embark upon in my life. That's how you deal with the issues of life. Get what it is. Acknowledge it. Somebody asks you, what's wrong? You don't look good. No, honey, I don't feel good either. But I want you to know, I got some issues, but hey, it's going to be all right. Because I've learned the promises of God. And not only have I learned them, but I done claimed his promises. Hallelujah. When I realize that there are streets paved with gold, and they tell me that in that bright place, that there is no nighttime. And they tell me that
in that place, there's no sickness and no sadness, no crying and no dying. I realize that there's nothing on this earth that can destroy me without keeping me from being delivered to a perfect place. So I say to the issues of this life, if all you can do is deliver me into a perfect place, bring it on. Deliver me. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Merciful Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this message and we thank you for touching our hearts. We thank you for reminding us that, Lord God, we all have issues. And when we do have issues, we need to acknowledge them. For nobody knows better than you and I, Lord, what my issues are, what our issues are. And so we ask, Father God, that you would touch our hearts and our minds right now. Strengthen us and encourage us. Cause us to walk with our heads up. God, we're reminded this morning that we're not perfect. We live in a sin-sick world. And issues are going to come. In this life, you shall have trials and tribulations. We are to be of good cheer. And Father, we ask that you forgive us for all of our sins. Cause us to be holy and acceptable in thy sight. God, right now, we're touching the hem of your garment, claiming your promises. We believe your promises. And we believe now you are empowering us to walk in those promises. Thank you, Father, for giving us a new walk and a new talk. And thank you for giving us a new home. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.